Hello and welcome to episode 2 of Coffee Chat with Dream Life Creators, a podcast where we inspire, motivate, encourage, and also give you practical tips to live your dream life here and now. I'm Alinka Tercic, your host, and today I'm so excited to be chatting with Karolina Schick. Hey, Karolina.
Hello, Alinka.
I'm really excited because I'm talking to you. It's one of the topics that I have no idea about. I can talk about a lot of stuff, but fashion and style are definitely not one of those. So let me first ask you, and from what I know or what I perceive stylist is someone that dresses the celebrities for the red carpet and, you know, bring them clothes to check and to choose from and style their hair and makeup and everything. But what do you really do?
First of all, thank you so much for inviting me. This is the most common, I wouldn't say misconception about stylists, but it's just one of the few limiting ideas about what us stylists do. Yes, of course, there are stylists who decide to take this path of their job and the dress stylist. It's a very, very hard work, very hard work. It can be rewarding, but you know, being on a public eye, or I mean, having your work being seen on a public eye is never easy, especially if you cannot influence the end result. Sometimes it happens. So, and this is not what I do. What I do, I help people. I wouldn't call it general public because this is also not true, but I focus predominantly on women and men, mostly in their 40s, who decided to transform their image for the better, who decided to do something with their lives. Usually, typically, ladies are business women, whether they own a business or they have a medium to a high or mid to high management positions in big companies, and men are usually divorced souls who seek their new style. So this is about whom I serve, and I teach my client how to dress, not only for red carpet occasions, but for their everyday lives, to actually build a style or improve their style, either build it from ground up if they have no idea or want to do something significant, or just do some tweaks here and there.
Yeah, it's funny that you mentioned how hard it is to style the celebrities because, you know, when I was preparing for this show, I was really nervous. What do I wear? You know, because in your bio, it says you don't see the world in black and white, but in color. So I kind of assumed, okay, I should not wear black or I should not wear white. And it was like, what will she think of me? And I know it's funny and it's not, you know, that you're not judging or anything, but I always felt that style is something that we are born with, you know, because even when I was younger, you know, some girls always had style. They always dress nice. And some of us are, you know, like lost cases.
No, nobody's born stylish at all, despite some books that have been published on the topic. And they make me kind of itchy around my nose. But the thing is that... Of course, style is something that is developed. You are influenced by. It depends. If you grew up surrounded by beautiful architecture and beautiful beautiful art, you subconsciously see and understand and just put together those beautiful color combinations. They are always harmonious. So naturally, your style, as you evolve, as you develop as a person, not only growing up, but even as a person later on in your 20s, 30s, 40s, it's in the back of your head, and you know that this color doesn't work with that color, or I shouldn't probably wear this because you don't know really why, but you know it's not right. So this is what happened. It's all influence, and if you decide to take my path, let's say, and study thoroughly, or if you decide to hire a stylist to learn what you need to know for your particular case, that's another matter. So you can work more in depth, but nobody, I assure you, nobody is born stylish.
Because I remember now that we are talking, I remember in my early 20s, I kind of knew what works for me, you know, what kind of colors. But then I entered the corporate world I kind of transitioned into gray, black, beige, and all those colors. And when I quit my job, you know, it was like, oh, wow, I don't have to wear those because I just didn't look good on them. But I have to wear them in a way.
Hmm. Corporate world, I don't know if they do it intentionally, but they, in so many ways, kill so many things, including people's taste. And they, it's formed, and it's, I strongly believe that those dress code restrictions, and especially color restrictions, make people feeling dull and then gradually feeling unmotivated. Because colors are omnipresent from the moment we open our eyes until we close them. Even some of us have colorful dreams. I cannot speak for other people, but mine certainly are colorful. So, well, this sounded ambiguous, but let's stay with colors. So what I want to say is that if we are exposed to colors, if we are exposed to harmonious colors, we are motivated. We may not realize it, but colors vibrate.
Yeah,
it's a physical, the occurrence of physical world. So colors vibrate and they alter our mood. Again, it's not that we want to deliberately put that color on so we can have blue mood or red mood or this mood, that mood. No, but they do influence us. This is that they play with our nervous system.
Yeah,
whether we want it or not.
Yeah, I agree with you. And finally, you know, when we talked about doing this interview, I stumbled across a post in one of the groups, and the question was, how do you feel when you dress up? And I know for myself, I try to squeeze these video recordings into 2 days so I don't have to dress up the others. And because most of the women were answering, they said, I feel better, I feel more confident, I feel even more productive. But then at the same time, we that work from home, we don't do it, you know? We kind of get satisfied with the slumpy sweaters and, you know, just anything that you can find and it's comfortable. We don't really dress up for ourselves.
And I think that's a mistake because, yeah, as you said, people are, especially people who work from home, whom I assume are the major part of your audience,
yes.
We tend to neglect ourselves. And I don't want to say that we should go back to the corporate attire. This is ridiculous. Nobody, I definitely wouldn't wear anything of this sort at home. But I still do dress up, and I've noticed repeatedly that I'm much more productive. Yeah. If I make an effort. I don't need to be dressed up. I don't need to wear full makeup. Just a little bit, and it makes a huge difference for exactly the same reason as when I want to exercise. The moment I put that sport bra on and those leggings on that I want to stress, wear only and solely for the occasions of exercising. And I even put coordinated colorful socks with it, so it puts me in the mood. And I do exercise, and the moment I finish, I get it off and just put something else on. So I literally have certain clothes for certain activities. And it's not vanity. It's actually a tool for me. It helps me to get to that mood, to be more productive or to make that effort and exercise and do this or do that.
That's a great point because I know for myself, you know, we have minus 15 degrees with the snow and it's so, you know, cozy in the blanket, on the sofa. And yeah, what could we do better? How can we dress up or, you know, maybe more incorporate our style into these everyday activities that nobody sees us but still are important for our own well-being?
You know, I'll tell you what everybody will tell you when it comes to business. Get out of your comfort zone, which doesn't mean that you should get uncomfortable, so you should wear uncomfortable clothes. Quite the contrary. But, you know, wearing a blanket all day, unless it's minus whatever, which is normally here all winter, so whenever somebody puts a temperature card on me, they cannot win because I live in Edmonton. So I always win no matter what. Our temperatures are so low. But working from home, it doesn't have to be full attire, number one. Number two, you don't see clothes that you wear. you feel them, you experience them, you just know they touch your skin, so you know how you feel in them. And that's the whole thing, that if you, again, wrap yourself in a blanket, you feel comfortable, so you want to do things that are for relaxation.
Yeah.
So how can you be productive wearing clothes that are designed for relaxation, and unless you train your brain to do so? But it's not really that easy to do.
Yeah, exactly.
So you have to get into that habit.
Yeah, I totally agree. But if we go back to style, how can we learn, you know, about the style and what's the right style for us? What do we need to look for?
You know, personal style is called personal for a reason, because there is no universal authority or universal body of something that you will say, this is defined as style. And if you don't wear this, you have no style, which is ridiculous. So personal style is something that looks great on one particular person, one and only particular person, under all circumstances. And it comprises of four pillars. Pillar number one, in my understanding, are colors, because we talk about the visual perception. So if you wear the right colors, you feel great. It's not the colors that you like. We might come to that later. But the colors that you like, and they look good at you, on you. Then number two is your style personality. There are a gazillion things that nobody would see me wearing that. Being, to give you an example, wearing camouflage, for example. I'm not a hunter. I'm not a soldier. I don't see any point for me to wear camouflage, right, anything. Somehow is connected to violence, and I don't want to do anything with it. I don't want my person to be associated with it. So number three, it's your color personality. So it's not what you would like to put on, unlike style personality, but color personality, it's something that says who you are as a person. You know, some people are shy, some people are more analytic, some people are introverts, some people are extroverts, some people, like myself, don't mind to get attention of people. Some people, on the contrary, they are so happy being a wallflower, and that's perfectly fine, as long as you are able to dress it together. And the last pillar is the fit, the clothes that make your figure look good, your silhouette. So if you manage to connect all those four pillars beautifully, you can say, I have style.
Sounds very easy. But like you said before, you know, wearing the colors that you don't like, I know that yellow really look good on me, but I never wear it because it's not, just not, you know, I never wore it. I never, you know, not that I don't like it, but I never seen myself as a yellow person.
That could be one element. On the other hand, I'm old enough to responsibly say that your color taste will change. Yeah. So let's say there is a set of colors in your color palette. There are colors that you will never look good at, no matter what, because of your natural coloring. But there are colors that might be on your color palette, and even you change slightly throughout your life, so you might need to adjust your colors. And number two, as it was for me, in different decades of my life, I gravitated towards different colors or started discovering colors. I had never worn brown in my life up until I was 40 something. And all of a sudden, you know, it's a very sensitive age for women, and it's probably something like 50 for men, I'm guessing. And I've never been one, so I cannot tell, but you feel that you need more nurturing. And brown is a color for nurturing, because colors, among other things, they have meaning, subliminal, just meanings for us personally, based on our experiences, and general meaning. And brown is a nurturing color. So I've discovered a beautiful brown dress, and I looked at it, and I said, you're not a brown girl. You don't wear brown things. What are you doing? And I put it on, and I said, wow, what have I done? Why haven't I worn it before? I look so great. So this is what might easily happen with you and yellow. You may not need to wear it on the top part of your body. You might discover that you might like to wear yellow sandals or yellow bangles or, I don't know, handbag. This is ideal for women.
Yeah. So you said that our taste changes and that we change, but Do you think it's possible that we also accept ourselves more and accept those colors that we always thought that are not for us, for example?
Style is predominantly, it starts with your own acceptance of what you've been given, color-wise and your body.
No, but with the story that you explained right now, because you know, for me, like the corporate world is black and white and gray. And then when I started to accept myself more, I started to accept more colors into my world and, you know, trying different things and being more comfortable in the not known.
Unknown, yes. This is where I was heading, that you can either, what can happen, you will either narrow down your choices or even widen your color horizons. So it happens all the time. And that's why when I create color palette, personalized color palettes for my clients, I work with both kinds. I mean, there are generic, there are typical for that color season, but if a client wants to go more in depth, so I create a personalized color palette. And I generally include 48 colors in it. And they say, well, but 48 is a little bit too much. And I said, you know what? You never know. Yeah. You never know, and I don't want you to think that you are restricted with those colors. That's number one. And number two, if you have never explored, let's say, emerald turquoise, you wouldn't even consider, for whatever reasons. It didn't cross your mind that you might look good in emerald turquoise, and I'm telling you, you are going to look good in emerald turquoise. So you might say, maybe I'll try it. So that's the whole purpose of such service, to broaden your horizons either way.
So can you explain a bit more how you're doing this? You know, you're obviously looking into the person more in depth than just, you know, being winter colors and cold colors or whatever those personalities are. What's the process of, you know, going through this to get to the colors and to whatever you add to it, I guess, the shapes and textiles as well?
The four season concept is quite old, but it's still wonderful because it helped us to explore more. So I wouldn't neglect it completely, but it certainly is very basic. So whenever I start, whenever I get a new client aboard, and I always need to know who the person is. I need to know what he or she likes, what personality they have. That's very, very important. And I'll give you an example of that process. So this is step one, personality. I had a client who, it was a male client, dark hair in his 40s, mid-40s, still almost black hair, beautiful olive skin, dark hazel eyes. And we tried various colors on him. Nice, warm. He was warm autumn, deep autumn, I believe. Yes. And there was a beautiful array of yellows and some violets and even some naturally olive colors. And he said, I would settle for olive. I wouldn't mind violet, but I'm not ready for the attention I would get with yellow. I see what you are saying. I see it looks good on me, but this is not who I am. I'm not ready for it.
Right.
See, so this is the personality part. I need to discover who the person is right at the start because, again, I still included this in his color palette. But maybe the time will come when he will be more comfortable, maybe not. At least he knows. So, but I would never force it on him. So when we worked further, I would never say, you know what, John, let's say, you should really get that yellow, sunflower yellow tie because you look great. I'm not going to force this color on him because I know already he's not ready for it. So that's number one is personality. Then we go to natural coloring. Color analysis. I need to know what looks good on that person color-wise, meaning to assess his hair color, his eye color, and or colors, I would say, and his skin tone. And please notice I didn't mention skin color because skin color in my teaching, in my approach, is completely, completely irrelevant.
Right.
And that's the beauty of it. That's the beauty of my approach because thanks to my wonderful mentor, Kim Bolsover, I've learned a method that really works for everybody on this planet, under the sun, I would say, but we don't know who's there until. Everybody on this planet, literally. It doesn't matter who your parents were, where you live, what race you are. I can assess you very, very accurately and you'll be happy. So personality, color analysis, and then we go to style personality. So again, like with the whole person, I need to know what style the person prefers. And there are six categories, which I'm not going to develop any further. But again, I'll give you an example. Let's talk about myself because I'm here. I am dramatic romantic. This is how I name it, or how I've learned to name it, the categories, meaning I don't mind getting attention. So I don't mind wearing bold colors, but I am minimalistic at the same time. I don't like frills and patterns. It doesn't look good on me. And it's not who I am at the same time. But on certain occasions, I don't mind being a little bit more romantic. So I do implement either for certain occasions or just little bits and pieces incorporate into my styles, though, little romantic elements. So I need to know what that person prefers. There are people who hate taking care of their clothes. They are just naturals. They prefer simple naturals, fibers or blends. And they don't really care much about anything they wear. So they want to wear something that rotates very quickly, that they put in a washer dryer and then wear it again. And their looks correspond with the intention they put to their clothes. And that's fine because this is who they are. Cool. And they look great. And the fourth pillar, or the fourth part of it, is the actual fit, the body. And we go head to toe, literally head to toe. And we assess. Again, if you look at me, my face is very angular, mm-hmm. and that scares many people, but I'm not as scary as I look. So my face is angular. However, my body, which you don't see, which is a pity, is hourglass shape. And now you see a disproportion because people who see me as a talking head all the time, they think that my body is straight. It's a kind of boyish figure. I don't have a boyish figure. And this is why I need to incorporate and balance my dramatic part and my romantic part. Right. Again, in person style, you need to accommodate all those elements. So once we have that, we assess every single feature of person's body when it comes to the shape of his head and the texture of his or her hair to select the right cut, to select the right style, to select the right color naturally. And again, what type of neck you have, which type of neckline will complement your face shape and your shoulders. And you always have to consider the ratio because it's not only this is my head and what hairstyle would look good on me. I don't know what hairstyle would look good on you. I need to know what your personality is. Maybe mohawk would, right? Yeah,
the whole package.
So there's a whole package. And, you know, my job is to put those things, those pieces of puzzle together. This is actually what I do, since you ask what do stylists do.
Yeah, because I'm into, you know, I really don't know much about this topic. And I'm sure that many listeners don't really, you know, maybe even put a lot of attention into it, or they want to know what you do and how you do it. So, and what do you say would be the biggest mistake people make when, you know, go shopping for themselves or, you know, in regards to style and looking good?
Trying to look good. Yes, it's very much related to the fact that we were discussing just prior, meaning that people nowadays get tons of information, and some of them are correct, some of them are not. But they think that since they have information, they can apply it and it will work for them. The trouble is they don't realize those consequences everywhere else. The ratio between various body features and the congruency of the personality part and color personality part and style personality part, you know, everything has to work, everything has to be put in one nice cohesive form. And this is what they most of the time don't get. Therefore, when you ask about shopping, they shop without any concept whatsoever. They don't even know what's missing in their wardrobe. They just go buy something they like, or they like on somebody else, hoping it will look good on them. This is probably the biggest problem of most wardrobe troubles that I have to solve on a regular basis. And that's why I don't offer wardrobe services anymore. When I started my business, I thought we should start with the wardrobe. But I said, no, this is just wrong. After 2 or 3, 5 clients, I said, this is the wrong end, not only for me, but for them. Because whenever we come to discussing a piece, I had to defend or explain every single piece, why we need to set it away or why we are keeping it. They didn't understand the whole concept. And we were, I wouldn't say wasting so much time, but it was impossible to go through the whole process sufficiently. So at the end of the wardrobe analysis, the client was not lying on the floor dead. all that shabram information.
Because you started at the end.
Yes, I started at the end. And this is the process of learning. But luckily, I was able to catch it very early on. So I said, no, I need to reverse the process. This is wrong what I'm doing. And I'm not doing any service to these people. So I revisited them and I said, you know what? I'm sorry, I was wrong. Let's do it again. And of course, naturally, they welcome my correction. So yeah, I was able to help them sufficiently. And the good thing is, as opposed to giving you a style tip, which I, again, genuinely hate because they are so general and so not applicable to the vast majority of people, I teach. I don't serve people. I teach people what they should do now and what they should or expect in the future. So they are absolutely independent. Of course, they might need my guidance or opinion, as they do. Yeah. They consult me after we work together. Because getting a style, acquiring a style is a process, as opposed to being born with one, which is ridiculous, even thinking about it. So it is a process because it's like every learning, you learn and apply. And of course you make mistakes in a process. But gradually, if you see the correction, if they send me a picture, I said, no, this doesn't work. And I'll tell you why, because of this, this, and this. And I remember you saying it. And gradually they manage to narrow it down to their perfect style, which will evolve anyway, because we change with age and we change our perception of ourselves, our perception of people around us, our perception of our position in the world. So we naturally, again, select either different colors or different styles, or we gain weight, lose weight, hopefully don't gain weight. So our hair color is changing. So there are so many things. It's a constantly evolving thing. I love style.
Okay, before we finish, because our time is almost up, where can people find more of you, your website? And I understand you have a freebie that they can, you know, start learning about the style and what to do.
People can find me on Facebook under my name, on my profile. Actually, I'm very active on Facebook, Carolina Chic. If you type Carolina Chic, you will see my page that I mostly use for advertisements, so I'm not very active there, but on my profile I am, and this is where all the conversation and general understanding of style happens. And my website, www.styleandchic.ca, because I'm in Canada. And my freebie is something that might help everybody, because it's a freebie on how to find out what your capsule wardrobe is. So instead of telling everybody who comes to my website, this is what you should have in your capsule wardrobe, how should I know? Is how to find out what should be actually in your capsule wardrobe based on your lifestyle. And there are tips and hints how to figure out how to apply it. I call it a capsule wardrobe because this is what resonates with most people. I actually, for myself, I call it sartorial delight because it's a wonderful base. Capsule wardrobe is not for everyone. That's number one. Not everyone likes minimalistic style, but it's a wonderful base because your wardrobe has to be built up and has to be naturally based on something. So this is the base for you.
Oh, awesome. I will put all the links on my website as well so people can find you easily. And before we finish, what is your favorite color?
Well, generally I like all the colors there are because color is a highly contextual matter. But when it comes colors for wearing, the one that look the best on me, and I always get compliments on it, is cherry red.
Oh, wow. Amazing. Not everyone can pull that off, but yeah, it looks good on you.
Thank you.
Carolina, thank you so much for your time and for everything that you do. I you know, I know myself, I learned a lot, and I will definitely get your freebie to, because I am a minimalistic person and I am looking to build my wardrobe, you know, in a more stylish way and be also more aware of what I wear, you know, in my free time or in my, even in my business time, but working from home. So thank you again for all your advice. I'm looking forward to speak to you again, maybe in the future. And
see you later. I want to thank you for the opportunity. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, bye. For me too. Bye.